I moved to the West Coast in 1989 and entered an entirely new musical world because on the East Coast in New York, we were into the Smithereens and, of course, all those East Coasty bands. Little did I know what I was in for with this whole LA-based, mostly anyway, of course, big San Francisco scene, West Coast sound. I mean, the cut you just heard by Dramarama came out in 1985, so I missed out on on 4 years of that scene. All sorts of music, like I said, that never really made it to any great extent on the East Coast. But then, boy, did I suddenly get involved in it. And that's kind of the theme for the first hour of this thing that I, Dennis the Menace, like to call Just Another Menace Sunday. Interview with John Easdale, the leader and at least half the brains, if not more, Chris Carter, the other half of the brains, behind Dramarama. Now, if you watch the reforming the band or whatever that thing's called on MTV, you know that they were put back together recently. If you saw the Mayor of Sunset Strip, the documentary, they played a major role in that with Rodney Bingenheimer on K-Rock in L.A., who discovered the band to a great extent and gave them their big kick in the you-know-what. John and I met up at last year's South by Southwest, and I'm finally getting to the interview almost a year later. But he has a great, great guest. Well, it's not even a guest DJ set. It's more his musical influences and the things he's listening to now. He has a lot to say, and of course we'll have lots of Dramarama music right here on Just Another Menace Sunday. So without further ado, let's go to Austin, Texas, in my chat with John Easdale of Dramarama.
People, you know, you'll say Dramarama, and they kind of, sort of, no. And yet, you know, you were there in such an important kind of time. I mean, you were there, you know, when a lot of amazing stuff was happening, especially on the L.A. scene and the New York scene and all of that. So for the people who know nothing, a little bit of history, revisionist history. So.
Well, we started in the 80s, and we owned a record we owned our own record store, and we started in the basement. The popular bands at the time were REO Speedwagon and Styx and things we didn't, you know, that weren't on the
record store.
It was in Wayne, New Jersey. Lovely Wayne, New Jersey record store. And we started in the basement, started making our own 45s, and we made a 45 and a 12-inch. And then we put out a record in France called Cinema Verte, an album. And that was brought, you know, over as an import, and a DJ named Rodney Bingenheimer started playing it in Los Angeles, and it became like a hit on the radio, this song called Anything Anything. And we stuck together for five albums and called it quits in 94. And then last year VH1 came to my house and kind of punked me, as the new word is, I guess, kind of like candid camera, showed up on my lawn and said, hey, how'd you like to get back together with your old group? And I said, sure, why not? So now Dramarama is back in business.
But John, you never stopped recording. I mean, in between 94 and this reunion, so to speak, you were doing all sorts of things, so let people know what that was all about.
Well, I kind of stepped away from the music business, as it were, in 94 as a recording artist, you know, for major labels. We kind of went through the ringer. We were kind of put through the ringer by being part of a major label. We had started independently and we'd done our own thing, and then we got the big label deal on our third album, and our fourth and fifth albums were put out through Elektra, and that was not nearly as satisfying or fun, even though, you know, arguably we reached a larger audience and we got to travel around the country and stuff. It stopped being as much fun, so kind of stepped away from it for a little while. Still, you know, played in the basement or the bedroom or the garage, wherever, and recorded a solo album that we put out on a label called Egbert Records in 98. And then we were still doing the same thing, just having fun and doing it for the love of the music more than, you know, trying to make a living off it. I realized that we had a lot more fun when we used to all work day jobs and spend our money on, you know, on our music and going into studios and stuff, when it was just purely a passion thing rather than a business thing. We never, you know, it's oxymoronic, music business, like Army Intelligence and stuff like that.
Okay, for people who don't know the name of the band.
We are Dramarama. We are called Dramarama. A lot of people might have heard the name of the band, but...
But where did it come from?
Oh, it's an actor's term. It's those kinds of people who are always on and always borrowing their favorite character and never really, you don't know who the real person is. They're just always their favorite character, whatever their mood is. If they're in a, you know, tragic mood, they're Blanche DuBois. And if they're in an angry mood, they're Stanley Kowalski.
Exactly. So did you guys, I mean, based on that, did you set out to be a concept band, or did you just set out to play the stuff you loved and play rock and roll?
It was always playing rock and roll. I think, I enjoyed films and movies, so there's a lot of references throughout, you know, to cinema and movies and films and things, but that's just a platform. I think, you know, even the word Dramarama is kind of like, it's what life is, you know. I think movies are supposed to be represented, so drama is something fake, so drama larger than life, you know. But we weren't, I don't know, we weren't trying to be pretentious or something, we just thought it was a neat name.
So there's a lot of threads throughout the songs, and the threads are, you know, kind of, you know, the love thing and the unrequited love thing, and then, but mixed in there is a lot of politics, you know, mixed into having, you know, there's kind of like you've done this really kind of lethal cocktail of a love song, but then, you know, haven't got a clue or, you know, or any of those, you know. How does this mix of love and politics, because there's always something in there that is that mix, is it more purposely that you're writing some short films and they're becoming songs?
You know, it's weird.
Never thought about that?
It's very pretentious to talk about what art is and stuff, you know, that's self-expression and it's very personal and it's my stuff and it's how I feel and it's about my feelings, and every once in a while it kind of crosses over so that other people can relate to it or identify with the same kind of feelings that I have. It's not real calculated or planned. It's just, yeah, what comes out is it's just comes out.
So just to ask it a different way, it's the simple one. Influences when you were growing up. I mean, it was funny because I was listening on iTunes to Haven't Got a Clue today, and then I heard some of the harmonies, and I'm like, that's the Beatles, man. You know, I mean, it's kind of transparent in some ways, but I'm just curious to know. I always ask this, what kind of got into your head when you were young that then kind of led to what you're doing?
Well, when I was like really little, the Monkees were on TV, and the Monkees and the Beatles cartoons probably were about at the same time. I was like 3 or 4 years old, and I guess that made a strong impression on me of about wanting to, you know, just that rock and roll thing. And, you know, through that, then the glitter, I guess what they called glitter, the original glitter era of Bowie and T-Rex and Mott the Hoople and stuff like that really made a strong impression on me when I was, you know, from 71 to 74, like between when I was like 10 and 13 years old. That was my, you know, I guess that's where you, you know, I think everybody, that's the point where, you know, made the most impression on me. But at the same time, we've never tried to be a copycat band or, like, you know, sound-alike band or, like, oh, let's do a Beatles song or let's do a, you know, Stone song. Although sometimes there's elements, you know, rock and roll's pretty, it's about recycling a lot of times.
Exactly. Yeah, no question about it. But now on to today, and we'll do the EP afterwards, but tell everybody the story of the little Schwarzenegger event there.
Oh, well.
A little dead Kennedys.
We live in California, of course, and California has just elected Arnold Schwarzenegger governor, our leader. And right before the election, I realized that there was a chance that he might actually win, which I hadn't really dawned on me. I just thought there was, you know, it was just I didn't think he would have much of a chance, but. You know, once again, they proved me wrong. I always think that people will know better and think better. So right on the eve of the election, we went into the studio and recorded a version of California Uber Alles with some new Arnold Schwarzenegger-inspired lyrics. And we went in the studio one day and sent it out on email the next day, and it's free to download at my website, johnnysdale.com. And I don't know, now he's won. The joke's no longer funny.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? So the current, what started out as the John Easdale, you know, New Jersey EP, which now is supposedly going to be coming out as a Dramarama album. Tell me a little bit about that, and particularly Everybody Dies. Just every time I hear it, I smile. Now, I'm not supposed to smile about a song called Everybody Dies, but I smile every time I hear it.
Well, you are supposed to smile, though. I mean, if you listen to the song, it's pretty upbeat, happy sounding, and I don't know, a really good friend of mine, Greg Donnell, passed away last year, and before he died, he was sick for a while, and I wrote it with him in mind, something for him to listen to. It's something for people to, you know, I don't know, maybe we should embrace death rather than be afraid of it. You know, there's so much fear, and it's, you know, quote unquote, the ultimate taboo. Everyone's afraid to talk about it. Everyone's afraid to think about it. And everyone, you know, it is sad. It's a sad, sad, horrible thing, the loss, but everybody does it.
All the way around.
Yeah.
Tell me about the EP a little bit. And is that going to become a full-length album now, or it has become a full-length album?
No, well, it's still there's recordings enough for like two full albums right now. I've been working on stuff for the past few years with the two original guitar players from Dramarama, and it was going to be the next John Easdale solo record just because there was no Dramarama, and then
VH1
showed up, and then we went and played a concert in California, and there was like thousands and thousands of people there just singing along with all the old songs, and we were like, we'd be really stupid not to call it Dramarama, so I quickly did an about face and slapped the Dramarama name on it, considering that the three guys who graduated from Wayne Hills in New Jersey all play on it and stuff. So I don't feel like I'm cheating anybody, but I could put aside my ego and take my name off there and still feel pride. Actually, the stuff on the New Jersey EP we recorded on my birthday, we pretty much recorded all in an evening. The songs were burning in my head, and I wanted to get it done and get it right, and we just like whipped them all out in one night. About 48 hours later, we were done, so that makes up the basis of like maybe half the album, and then the rest of it was recorded in California. We really did record that in New Jersey at a studio in one night, and it came out really good. I was very pleased. Yeah.
Sounds great. It's fun.
Thanks.
A lot of energy there. So, just two more quick things. What's on the John Easdale playlist these days? Who are you listening to, and who do you think is just, well, you could do it two ways. Who are you really excited about, and then who do you kind of wish, without any bad tidings, you say to yourself, you know, it's a good thing I am coming back because there's some weird stuff going on. And you can be positive if you want, or you can be real.
Well, I'll be honest. I think it's very encouraging that there's a lot of good new rock groups coming. Like, I love the Jet record. I like, I like the Hives, and I like the Strokes, and I like all these the White Stripes. I love. It's odd that things like that become so hyped. It's almost a shame they don't have a chance to really develop on their own. And then you know, when they don't sell a million, then you know the industry moves on, even though it's good music. I don't know, there seems to be a resurgence of rock and roll for some reason, and I don't know, maybe it skipped a generation or something. It's also weird. Last night we were at a concert and they were playing like Led Zeppelin, and I was thinking, you know, this record's over 40 years old, or 30 some years old, and you know, in the 60s we weren't listening to Benny Goodman and you know, the Bob Crosby and the Bobcats, you know, so there's a much wider span of time range, and the new music can appeal to guys my age, you know, I'm 42, or it can appeal to 18 year olds who didn't live through it the first time, you know. For us it's more of a nostalgic trip, and for the kids it might be something new. Yeah, they never saw guys with long hair and beards playing rock with ripped jeans. I don't know, it's funny. I look at the Kings of Leon or Jet, and I, you know, there's so many records I can say, okay, there's Leonard Skinner, okay, there's the Stones, there's ACDs or whatever, you know. It's a weird amalgam, and again, it's recycling. but it's clever recycling. But I'm encouraged by the trends. I'd like to see, I don't know, the corporate side of it. I'm also happy to see that the music business is finally letting off some of their bloat.
Cool. I think that pretty much says it.
Don't be slow. No. 'Cause I'm leaving in the morning, and I must see you again. We'll have one more night together till the morning brings my train, and I must go. No. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Take the last train to fly. bit of conversation. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. Take the last train to Clarksville. Now I must hang up the phone. I can't hear you in this noisy railroad station. All alone, I'm feeling low. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Take the last train to Clarksville and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30, cause I've made your reservation. Don't be slow. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Take the last train to Clarksville. Sunshine Band, let's give them a great big hand, and then we'll try to paint with sand. Sonny Fox plays Simon Says, toss some jacks and eat some pez. I'm stuck in Wonderama Land. Measure anger by degrees, and then some patches on your knees. Hear the cymbals crash and fade. Let's go join that big parade and take a day to learn a trade. Sunshine Band, let's give them a great big hand, stuck in Wonderama Land. Sonny Fox plays Simon Says, toss some jacks and eat some pears, stuck in Wonderama Land. Stuck in Wonderama Land. You wonder I'm a man.
stuck in wonder hour
John Easdale, lead singer from Dramarama. You're listening to Mr. Dennis the Menace on KUSF.
I know it's cute. kitten fed, you gotta kiss a little woman, put the children in a bed, check the sports and weather and the living and the dead. You don't have to hear the headlines, you can hear what Johnny Carson said. Oh, Mr. Sandman, won't you listen to me, please? I'm saying I'll stay in bed, but I'll pretend I'm on my knees and praying. One for my hunger and another for my greed, and just forget about my envy, Lord, and give me what I need. I need a last cigarette, last cigarette, last cigarette, one before I go to bed. Last cigarette, last cigarette, last cigarette.
I haven't 90.3 FM, KUSF, San Francisco.
It's April 21st, and everybody knows today is Earth Day. Merry Christmas, happy birthday to whoever's being born. And now I'm trying hard to think of something meaningful and worthy, kind of earthy, to make everybody ask themselves just, what are we doing here? And what are we doing to her? I don't know. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?
Vote for me on Tuesday.
To say to you.
Well, there it is. Guest DJ set. Actually, a little different this time. Musical influences of John Easdale from Dramarama. Right here on Just Another Menace Sunday.
Why is that not going?
Oh, there it is. Equipment. It's so much fun. In that set, John Easdale started as a solo EP, now a Dramarama record. Good Night America, Dramarama, California Uber Alice, dedicated to you, our lovely governor. Everybody Dies from that same John Easdale EP, which is available online, I think, johneasdale.com. You can email me about that. Dramarama, What Are We Gonna Do? Walk Idiot Walk the Hives, Haven't Got a Clue, Dramarama. T-Rex, Metal Guru, Mott the Hoople, Roll Away the Stone. Dramarama, Back Again with Last Cigarette. The Beatles, The Night Before. Wonderama Land from Dramarama. And the Monkees starting out the set with Last Train to Clarksville. And we'll get ready for hour number two of Just Another Menace Sunday in mere seconds.
If you have a life insurance policy no longer needed for its original purpose, you can use it to support KUSF and get a great income tax deduction. For more information about how to transfer your life insurance to USF, call David Cunningham, Director of Planned Giving at USF, at 415-422-2872.
If you have a pet snake, you can also use it to support KUSF. I'm sorry. It's time for hour number two of Just Another Menace Sunday. How much trouble can I get into? So, it's all new music, a la Dennis the Menace. Next week's interview, I'll mention more of it. The Kaiser Chiefs, next Sunday, 4 o'clock. So, Troy, without further ado, please hit CD number two right now.